Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Kuraitis. Today is November 22nd, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. Title of today's podcast is DC and Market Drama. Well, we know about the DC drama. We've been talking about it here extensively over the past couple of weeks with all of the public hearings involving the impeachment inquiry of Donald J. Trump. It appears that it's likely going to head to the Judiciary Committee in the House. And I imagine that articles of impeachment will be drafted. We don't necessarily know what all of those articles will entail, but it is likely that the president will be impeached, and then the trial will be moved to the United States Senate. And who knows how that will unfold. Of course, Donald Trump was on the news this morning, rambling on Fox and Friends for nearly an hour, spreading a lot of false rumors, disinformation and misinformation like he has been over the course of this entire period. I'm sure there was some truth in there sprinkled here and there, but most of it was just him rambling on for nearly 50 minutes, which is something he can do quite easily. Doesn't really help much of anybody or anything, but that's what he does. Basically saying that he wants a trial. This is akin to Donald Trump also claiming during the Mueller investigation that he would love to testify. And of course, he did not testify in person. He testified via written answers, written questions, and response with written answers. And if you recall, his personal attorney at the time, or at least his White House counsel, said, I'm not going to let you testify. And if you do testify in front of Bob Mueller and other prosecutors, I'm not going to be sitting there next to you. Why? Because Donald Trump lies. Can't keep his story straight. That's a problem. So he might say that he would love for a trial to take place. Maybe he means it. Maybe he's just trying to play the strong man. If he was really so innocent and had exculpatory evidence, then he should have sent people with firsthand knowledge to testify. Everybody who's testified has had their attorney sitting right next to them through the entirety of their testimony. Sometimes they interjected. We're not going to answer this question. Can you rephrase the question in a certain manner? We're not going to talk about this, that, or the other, but we will answer this. It's what your attorneys are supposed to do. Plus, it wasn't just a committee that was made up of Democrats. You have Republicans up there as well. So that's somewhat of a problem in my mind, but that's okay. You don't want to go down there. You don't want to send those firsthand witnesses there. Okay. I guess to some degree that you're right, although that could be something that the Democrats write up as an article of impeachment. Obstruction of justice, obstruction of Congress. We'll see if that gets anywhere. And again, like we said yesterday, this is a very serious question. This is a very serious process. None of this is to be taken lightly. This is not a good day in America. This whole process has not been a good couple of months for America. But this is where we are. We can't deny the truth of this is the situation in which we find ourselves. And what are we going to do about it? And the question I raised yesterday, of course, I raised a couple what I thought were good questions. But one of them was, does this all rise to impeachment and removal, what we know now? And to me, that's a serious question. Now, if you, of course, you're a never Trumper, an anti-Trumper, you despise the man, he was guilty from day one, doesn't matter. Now, that's not the way anybody should be thinking, but it's clear that there are people in this country who feel that way. And then on the other side, Donald Trump can do no wrong because he's there to drain the swamp. He's there to mess up the system. He's there to break it. And, you know, he's not going to get it done in 3 years. He's not going to get it done in 4 years. So he has to. So whatever he does, he does. And I'm okay with it. That's not right either. But that's the mindset of a lot of people in this country. And that is not healthy at all for this republic. Removal is a very serious question and a very serious process, as is the overall impeachment. Do we wait another year and allow the American people to decide at the ballot box? Or do we have to keep in the back of their mind, too, will the president do this again? Which is one of my biggest concerns, because I think he will. And I think I did a good job laying out an argument as to why I believe that is. And I've done that on a few podcasts, because that's a serious concern. in my mind. But it is serious to remove a sitting president who was duly elected. I'm not one of these nuts out there saying, you know, that he was propped up and put in there by Vladimir Putin. I'm not going down that road. He was duly elected. He got tens of millions of votes. Pretty much a landslide victory when it comes to the Electoral College. Kudos to the man for winning. It's not easy to do. But that doesn't give him the right to abuse his power and abuse his office, which I do believe that he has done. I believe he's done this on a multitude of fronts, actually. I mean, we talk about the markets here as well. I know we've taken a step back from talking about the markets because they're completely manipulated. That's a crime in and of itself with all of the money printing that's going on from central banks the world over. Can't have any type of pullback. No, no, no. Got to keep this thing going up. So what's the point of me talking about a lot of the underlying fundamental economic data that continues to come out? Because the markets don't give a damn. Good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter. We're just going to keep going up, up, and up because the Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, the Bank of Japan, all the big boys are going to continue just to print money to keep this thing going. How long can it go? Your guess is as good as mine. And that's extremely dangerous because valuations are through the roof. Nothing makes sense. You can't properly price or value anything, especially in Europe and in Japan because you have negative interest rates. It's not good, folks. It's not good at all. And at the same time, you have Donald Trump that continues to jawbone these markets and come out on a near daily basis with false headlines about a trade deal with China being close and close and close. 2 years almost, there's no deal. And if there is going to be one, it's going to be a phase one deal, whatever that means. But the markets keep buying it. And the central banks keep printing money. This is not a market. This is not price discovery. This is not free market capitalism. The president wants to come out and say, as long as he's president, this will never be a socialist nation here in the United States. Too late. Way too late. Central banking. Hear the first word? Central. Central planning. Fixing the cost of capital. Printing funny money to cover up their mistakes because they are not going to show any type of leadership or any type of responsibility and come out and say, we messed up. But guess who has come out recently with a statement? I don't know how these people come out with these statements, but they do. And this was former chairman of the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, coming out and saying, a lot of people are doing things right. They're trying to save, and basically they're getting screwed. Are you kidding me, Janet? This is your policy that you continued that is screwing people over. And we don't even have negative interest rates here in the United States. What have I been telling you with negative interest rates if and when they come to this country? Going to steal your savings. They're already doing it with extremely low interest rates. When you enter negative territory, you're done. You're cooked. Game over. And now Janet Yellen's all of a sudden, she's concerned about this. And now she's worried that we might fall into a recession, especially if the U.S.-China trade deal doesn't come through. These people are garbage. They need to be locked up. Some of the biggest criminals who ever walked. And Donald Trump couldn't be happier. He wants the negative interest rates. This market manipulation, as far as I'm concerned, is an abuse of power that needs to be investigated. But they don't even talk about that, and I don't even know how they do. I don't know how these politicians don't bring this up. It's so in your face obvious. I don't get it, unless they're all making out on it on the other side. Maybe that's why you have a lot of Republicans, people who were against Donald Trump before, or at least somewhat critical of him, now campaign with him, support him basically 100%. I mean, is he lining their pockets? Is he telling them, hey, here's what I'm going to do. Go do some insider trading. Knock yourself out. I hope that's not the case. But it's amazing to me that you have some people who were adamantly against him or were critical of him on a number of fronts. And now they go all over the place campaigning with him and this, that, and the other, supporting him on a whole host of issues. Senator Rand Paul, prime example. We have trillion-dollar deficits. Where's the stink? I don't know. All the Tea Party senators and Republicans and congressmen that came around during the Tea Party, they're still there, a lot of them. They care that there's a trillion-dollar deficit? I don't hear anybody making a stink about this. Not a one. Does anybody care? Federal Reserve out of control? Rand Paul used to talk about all this stuff. I don't hear much of it. And now you have Senator Lindsey Graham going after Joe Biden on the Senate Judiciary Committee, going after Joe Biden, going after Ukraine and Burisma. And it was interesting because there was an interview this evening on CNN. I caught Joe Biden interviewed by Don Lemon talking about a whole host of issues. And this came up, the fact that already Lindsey Graham is going to be investigating Joe Biden, his son, Ukraine and Burisma. And CNN showed a clip about a couple of years ago of Lindsey Graham talking quite openly and somewhat emotionally about his friendship with Joe Biden. And if you watch that clip, if you take the time to watch it, the things he says about Joe Biden, it's very hard to imagine that just a couple years after the fact, where we are today, that now he is going to be opening an investigation on Joe Biden, given the things that he said about him. But that's where we are, okay? It was a few years ago. Yeah, Joe Biden and I, we don't see eye to eye on pretty much anything when it comes to politics or policy, but you know what? We're good friends. And Joe Biden is a good man, especially all of the things personally that he has been through. Losing his wife, young child, losing his son a couple of years ago to cancer, yet he continues to march on. I don't see eye to eye on virtually anything with Joe Biden from a policy perspective. I don't know him personally, but he has gone through hell personal in his personal life. How many people could have kept moving? Not too many, but he has. And I think that's something that's a testament to his character to some degree. This is where we are in our politics. I'm not saying that Joe Biden is innocent of all of these things, but again, it comes down to the timing of all of this. President Trump and his White House and his Department of Justice could have looked into this in 2017 and 2018. They didn't. Lindsey Graham could have looked into this in 2017 or 2018, where I think it would have been Chuck Grassley at the time because he was the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, but still a Republican. They didn't. Now, lo and behold, it's 2019. Joe Biden is a Democratic presidential candidate. And now you got to investigate him, Ukraine, Burisma. It just looks so political, folks. That's the problem. That's why it looks, and as far as I'm concerned, it is an abuse of power. The White House, Donald Trump, was attempting to get this to take place in Ukraine. You say, well, we're helping them out. The guy said he wants to fight corruption. All of the ducks are in a row. They got a corrupt company they're going after. And it just so happens that that company is associated with the Bidens. But we have nothing to do with it. That's what they're doing. They're fighting corruption, and that's who's brought up in the dragnet. How convenient that would have been. But of course, there was a whistleblower complaint. And all hell broke loose. Giuliani is a hand grenade. Mick Mulvaney and Ambassador Gordon Sondland are concocting a drug deal. Remember that? The testimony from Dr. Fiona Hill yesterday? Giuliani is a hand grenade. Mick Mulvaney, the chief of staff to the president, and Ambassador Gordon Sondland are concocting a drug deal. Get away from it. That's what she was told by her then boss, former National Security Advisor John Bolton, who, by the way, is back in the news because I guess he got his Twitter account back. At least this is what he is arguing, that the White House suspended or locked his Twitter account, but now he has access to it once again. I don't know if that's true. I really don't. I don't follow social media enough. I don't know about the background and the IT on it to know as to whether or not the White House had that authority to do so, if there was some sort of authentication process that was two-step, that had something to do with maybe some sort of non-disclosure agreement. I have no idea. I have no idea. John Bolton's mumbling about some type of software that the White House put on it and then Twitter took it off. I don't know. But that's his statement. But he's back in Washington. He's trying to sell a book. I don't like John Bolton. I have voiced my opinion on him many, many times over the course of this podcast. Glad he is no longer in the White House personally. Just because I don't like his policies. Clearly, I don't know the man personally, but his policies for the past couple of decades have been horrendous. Has been a major proponent of these major wars that we cannot afford. So I'm glad he is no longer in the White House. But that doesn't mean, and I've given him credit, as I give a lot of people credit, that I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat, whether I agree with you or not. You don't get to these places of power, the highest levels of our government, without knowing how to maneuver, without knowing how to operate. And I think in this instance, John Bolton knew how to operate and outmaneuver Rudy Giuliani, Mick Mulvaney, Ambassador Sondland, and Donald Trump when he ordered Dr. Fiona Hill to not get involved in this and to march straight down to the legal counsel's office in the National Security Council and tell them that this is not right, that you are not going to be a part of this, and neither am I. Create a paper trail. Anytime you got to go to the lawyers, folks, you know something's wrong, especially at the highest levels. And when you have testimony of Dr. Fiona Hill saying, look, all of this is going to end up blowing up, when she said that to Ambassador Sondland, and here we are, folks, here we are. We're in an impeachment inquiry. We told you this was going to come to a head. We told you Rudy Giuliani was a hand grenade. We told you there's a quote-unquote drug deal taking place. And here we are with an impeachment inquiry. And don't forget the timeline, because that's coincidental too. And I tell you all the time not to believe in coincidences, because it's highly suspect, especially when it comes to politics. You have a whistleblower complaint that is basically circulated and made known on September 9th. That's the same day Donald Trump has a phone call with the Ambassador Sondland. I want nothing. No quid pro quo. No quid pro quo. Nothing. Just have President Zelensky do the right thing. Click. We're done. And the Republicans' argument now is, well, he said he didn't do it. As does every defendant. As does every suspect. I didn't do it. Well, if it was that easy, then nobody would be in jail. Unless somebody really had a guilty conscience and they confessed. Not good enough. Need to look at the evidence. Need to look at the circumstance. And that's why the transcript, the perfect phone call, the perfect transcript was not enough. It wasn't enough. And my example yesterday was, hey, substitute the name. Donald Trump for Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump for Barack Obama. Would you just be satisfied with a transcript and with Hillary Clinton saying this is perfect, or with Barack Obama saying this is perfect? You don't have to look anywhere else. Of course you wouldn't, if you're a conservative Republican or somebody who is supporting Donald Trump. Case in point, Hillary Clinton deleting 33,000 emails. What was her excuse? Oh, well, there was nothing in them. Just some yoga classes and my daughter's wedding. Just some coordination efforts. You didn't believe that. You didn't believe that. And you know why? Because you're smart. You used your common sense. There's no way that's true. Sure, maybe there are some yoga emails in there, that scheduling for class, whatever. Maybe there are some emails about her daughter's wedding. Okay, maybe there are. But you think that's it? 33,000 of them? And you were upset. And you should have been. Because you used your common sense. Don't turn a blind eye now, because this is your guy. He abused his office. He abused our office. But still the question remains, does it rise to impeachment? Does it rise to removal? Because it's a serious process, folks. And we don't have, really, firsthand witnesses to this whole thing of hearing specifically Donald Trump or hearing Rudy Giuliani. Now, of course, we have Gordon Sondland. He is one of them. And that was not good testimony for the president. And I don't think it was good testimony from Dr. Fiona Hill and David Holmes on the last day of testifying either. Really, none of them was good testimony for the president. It's just a question of how damning was the testimony per individual. You get somebody who really has a lot more detail. If you get one of those two associates who have been arrested by the FBI, the two associates of Rudy Giuliani, one of them wants to sing like a canary. At least that's some of the reports out there, probably trying to get some type of immunity. Yeah, we'll squeal. Maybe there's going to be truth in that. I mean, you have to have some truth in it when you do it. Now, of course, Donald Trump's going to have some of the best attorneys on his side if this does go to trial in the Senate. But nevertheless, are people going to come out and start, hey, I'll throw Donald Trump under the bus because I'm not going to jail. I seen what happened to Paul Manafort. I see what happened to George Papadopoulos. I just saw what happened to Roger Stone. I'm not falling on the sword for this guy. I'm done. I'll tell you what you want to know. Rudy Giuliani come forward? Mike Pence? Mike Pompeo? John Bolton? Maybe John Bolton will come forward. He's the one saying they're hand grenades and drug deals. He must know something. He's one of the closest advisors to the president as a national security advisor. It's breathtaking. What words do you have for this other than to use your common sense and to connect the dots? Smoke screens by the Republicans and by the president. No acknowledgement that this was the wrong thing to do virtually by any Republican. Donald Trump isn't going to apologize or admit that he made a mistake, that he shouldn't have done this. And that's highly problematic because, like I've said before, and I've tried to make arguments on behalf of Donald Trump to give him a leg to stand on, to say, why didn't you do this in 2017 and 2018? And if you did, just show it, that you put the aid on hold then too, and that you're just consistent. You've been consistent over the past 3 years. Now Joe Biden running is just a coincidence that Joe Biden's running, because it's just been consistent over the past 3 years. But that's not what happened. 2017, 2018, the aid goes. 2019, Joe Biden's running. Boom. Can't have it. Got to put it on hold. Maybe we can get away with something here. They tried. They got caught. And Republican argument, especially from Jim Jacketless Jordan, is, well, they got the aid. There was no meeting. There was no interview. There was no statement. So all's fine, folks. All's fine. I shot the bastard, but he didn't die, so you can't charge me with anything. I didn't murder him. I was going to burn the house down, but somebody caught me. Can't charge me with attempted arson. That's what the Republicans, that's the argument, that there's no such thing as attempted anything. No attempted murder, no attempted rape, no attempted arson, no attempted robbery, no attempted assault. Nothing. It has to be the crime. It has to have been committed in full, and you had to have been caught on tape. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Use your common sense. I'm not happy about this situation, folks. Believe me. Not happy about it at all. But Donald Trump likes to ride the thin line between legal and illegal, just like I think the Clintons do, and a whole host of others. Lock them all up. I told you, I'm about truth and justice here. I don't care who's implicated. I don't care who goes down in all of this. I really don't. If there's bombshell news that comes out from something else, good, fantastic, bring them down. So don't try to pin me in a corner as being for Donald Trump, against Donald Trump. I'm for the truth and justice. I don't care who goes down. You shouldn't care either. That's the problem. Everybody's siloed in, already making up their mind. Don't care about the facts. Can't even agree on the facts. Can't even agree on the facts. How can you even have a conversation with somebody if you can't even agree on the facts? You want to have a disagreement on maybe the policy remedy? That's fair game. That's what this country's all about. But if you don't have a foundation where people can agree on the facts of the case, of the situation, you are doomed to fail. It is inevitable, and that's exactly where this country is right now, and has been for quite a while. And the President of the United States, the leader of the free world, is not helping it one damn bit. It's more conjecture, it's more speculation, it's more conspiracy theory, it's more wait and see, wait and see, wait and see, it's more misinformation, disinformation, it's more blame the Democrats. It's more divisiveness. This is no, like I've said before, Abraham Lincoln, a house divided cannot stand. Nope, this is divide. Keep going. Just keep poking them in the eye. And the Democrats don't get a free pass from me either. They most definitely don't. Because they have been trying to go after this president since day one. Question is, if he wins in 2020, will they continue? They probably will. They probably will continue. And like I said, I have serious concerns that Donald Trump will do something like this again. That's a serious concern, especially because he's not going to have a re-election, another campaign. 2 terms, he's done. So how emboldened is he really going to think he is? How much power does he think he's going to have with 4 more years should he get back in there? And I still hold true, if he skates on this impeachment thing and removal, he's probably going to win in 2020. Because who the Democrats have put up are pathetic. They are pathetic. I mean, I watched some of the debate last night. I mean, the ratings were terrible on it because everybody is paying attention to these impeachment inquiries. I mean, there were still 10 of them up on the stage, so it still really hasn't whittled down yet. And we got Governor Deval Patrick of Massachusetts still getting in, and Mayor Michael Bloomberg of New York City is getting in. So you got 2 more people coming in. Of course, I don't know how far Deval Patrick's going to get, probably not that far, but Bloomberg has the money. Bloomberg has the money. He can self-fund this thing as long as he wants. No problemo. He's got 50-some-odd billion dollars to play with. He can do whatever he wants. So we'll see what they say. But the 10 that are standing up there, it's ridiculous. I mean, like I've said, the only one that really I pay attention to is Tulsi Gabbard. But the media don't like her. Most of the Democrats on that stage don't like her. They want to dismiss her. She's not going to get a lot of airtime. That's how it goes. Why? Because she's against the military-industrial complex. She calls them out by name. She calls an end to these endless wars. You would think maybe the liberals would be all for that, but they're not. They're not. The Democrats and the Republicans, folks, they're really one and the same at the end of the day. They're a two-headed snake. Opposite side of the same coin. That's all they are. Open your eyes. Get over it. Start solving the problems. We outline this, I think, beautifully in our book, The Cynic's Guide to Investing. Because all of the travesty, all of the terrible policies that have been implemented for the past 40-some-odd years, if not longer, have come from both parties, have come from Republican presidents and Democratic presidents. Makes no difference. It's divide and conquer. This party system is just a release valve. It's just a release valve. That's all it is. You can tolerate 4, maybe 8 years of one of these lunatics, and then, whoop, the other guy got to come in. That's the release valve. And then you can tolerate his shenanigans for 4, maybe 8 years, and then, whoop, do it again. Republican, Democrat, Democrat, Republican, Republican, Democrat. $23 trillion in debt, hundreds of trillions of dollars in unfunded liabilities, endless wars, crumbling infrastructure, terrible school system from K to 12. Out of control costs, especially as it relates to health care. Who's solving these problems? Nobody. Nobody. But who's benefiting from them? All of these politicians who continue to get reelected on all of them. Because they say, well, we just need another 2 years. We just have to be in power. And as if we're in power, we're going to solve everything. And nothing gets solved. All it does is it gets worse and worse and worse. Kicking the can further and further and further down the road. There's no leadership. There's finger pointing. There's finger pointing. There's jawboning. There's misinformation. There's headlines. There's chest thumping and pounding that this is the greatest economy ever in the history of this country. That is the biggest sack of you-know-what you can almost ever hear. I mean, our GDP for the fourth quarter is projected to be 0.4-0.3%. I don't know how that's the best. If that's the best we can do with all of this money printing, with all of these tax cuts, with this deficit spending, if this is the best we can do, we're in a lot of trouble, folks. 0.3-0.4%? Scratching your head yet? Maybe I'm being lied to. Maybe something's not right here. You think? It's all a distraction from the underlying problems. It's all a charade. It's all a con game. That's all it is. It's a Ponzi scheme. And guess who's going to be paying for it? You guessed it. You. It's not going to be Goldman Sachs. It's not going to be ExxonMobil. It's not going to be JP Morgan. Mm-mm. Not even close. It's not going to be Boeing. It's not going to be Lockheed Martin. It's going to be you. It's going to be me. Question is, how do you pay for it? Inflation? They're going to go negative rates, take it from your savings, combination of both. What are they going to do? You prepared? You ready for it? Your politicians, your congressmen, your senator, do they know about this? Do they care? Do they talk about it? Or maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be, but I don't think so. I don't think so. Because I'm not basing this off of my feelings. I'm basing this off of the numbers, and I'm basing this off of historical precedent. History may not repeat, but it does rhyme. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm trying to do with this podcast, is to educate this audience to the best of my ability, to make sure that you do your best to stay diversified in a manner in which you think is best for your needs, and to stay vigilant. DC drama and market drama. And, you know, we're ending the year already. It's almost Thanksgiving next week. Christmas will be a month away. What's going to happen in these markets? Because they keep going up, despite the economic numbers that come out. Now, we have had a number of global purchasing manager index figures come out today. A mixed bag. Australia was deteriorating. The UK was deteriorating. Japan was a mixed bag. Overall in Europe, somewhat of a mixed bag. Germany's still in contraction, not looking good. France is a little bit on the upslide. And the U.S. was on the upswing as well, probably on the back of the fact that those GM plants were back online following the strike. So that's not a surprise. So we'll see what happens there. 1 month does not make a trend. But good news is good news. So we'll take it and we'll see what happens with it. But we're ending the year. What's going to happen? Is there going to be a continuation of a melt-up, a Santa Claus rally? Or are people going to take profits and say, hey, you know what? The markets were up 20-some-odd percent this year. I'm locking in these profits. I'm going to make my numbers look good for the year. I'm taking profits and we'll see what happens. Or are you going to have people who maybe didn't catch all of this rally and saying, well, I got to catch up. I got to get my numbers up there. So are they going to chase these all-time highs, which is dangerous because you're supposed to buy low and sell high. So you do what you want. It's your money. But like I say here, stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. It is Friday. Enjoy your weekend. I hope to be back on Sunday for a week ahead segment. If not, you will catch me here on Monday. Enjoy your weekend, folks. Glad to have you with me. This is the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.